Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, quite a bit to talk about. Let's start with what could be a major story breaking here, and that is that Stephanie McMahon, who had stepped away from her duties in the WWE, leaving a tweet that basically said, looking forward to be able to return, stepping away for a little while for family reasons, they are actively seeking replacements for her, and there are some word that some of these people can't start the job for 3 to 6 weeks. If they can't even start the job between 3 and 6 weeks, Stephanie McMahon is going to be gone a considerable amount of time. And then we add to it that the speculation was perhaps Hunter needs someone at home. You know, he has obviously underwent major heart issue and a medical issue and perhaps needs some care, but that's not true because Triple H is back on the job from all reports we are getting. Something's up. Now, I'm not going to speculate because it could be anything. But, and I doubt we'll ever really know, but some people are saying there's something personal going on. And there is wild speculation all over the internet on what it could be. And I'm not going to engage in that, but something is up. You don't just simply step down when you are one of the top executives in the company and just say, oh, it's for, you know, I need a little time for family. And then they're looking to replace you with candidates who can't even start the job for 3 to 4 weeks. You're looking at the whole summer and probably the whole entire rest of the year at minimum. And that's not, I'm sorry, that's just not burnout. That's somebody takes a couple of weeks, maybe a month. You say, of course, you know, everybody's going to need that now and then. Stephanie McMahon was involved in the everyday activities every single day. She was front and center. She was just given the one of the most influential female, in business. And now she's gone. So I'm going to go on record as saying this. I'm not saying she's lying. Perhaps there are some family. She didn't say what the family reasons were. Take time to be with her family or some family personal matters. Well, again, you'd think that would be a month or a month and a half. What we're looking down the barrel of now seems to be more in terms of a year. Maybe under a year, but about a year. And there are some people saying she's not coming back at all. Now, I have no evidence of that. But I think we can safely say there is more to this than meets the eye. And I'm not sure what it is. And every source that you go to says the same thing. Yes, there's something else. No, no one will ever find out what it is because it's too personal. So I guess we're going to have to leave it at that. But something's up. And her active replacement, you can say what you want. I know Stephanie came up with some corny ideas, you know, and some things that people didn't care for. But to have somebody come in cold, and I know Nick Khan had said he was going to fill in and do some of her duties. Obviously, that didn't fly because they're actively looking for people to fill some of her obligations. This is not going to be an easy thing. You cannot replace someone who has been in the business virtually their whole life, maybe not in this position, But around the business and in the business, in one way or the other, virtually since they were a child. And you can agree or disagree with her decisions, but she knew the business inside out. She was born into the business. And I'm just not so sure you can, you know, put an ad in the Yellow Pages and say, oh, well, you know, call us and maybe you can fulfill her duties. I don't know. Things are looking odd here, folks. Things are looking real odd. We had speculated, this has nothing to do with Stephanie, so I'll do a little speculation. We had speculated that the company might be for sale. And maybe some people are getting wind of it and they're washing their hands. I don't know. I really don't know which direction this is going in. But I know this is more than just a little time off for family, Mike, because you don't actively seek replacements. You just have people temporarily fill in if it's going to be just a very short period of time.
That's right. And think about this. Remember what a few months ago when we were hot and heavy talking about the WWE up for sale, and Nick Khan said, well, we're not up for sale, right? He said that, right?
Yes.
And so, well, if this is happening now and it's a year, then that statement now doesn't – that statement by Nick Khan doesn't pass the smell test, you know? Something's not right here.
Even then, Mike, he said, well, we're not actively looking to sell. But if someone was to make an offer, like any good company will listen. Something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong within the WWE. And a couple other things have happened that makes me think some things are not well inside the WWE. First of which is they are not officially ending the brand split. Vince McMahon has said, no, that's not true. There was a rumor we were going to end it, but no, the brand split is still a thing. But it's really not. Because from what I'm hearing, we're going to be seeing Cody Rhodes tonight. We're going to be seeing Seth Rollins tonight. And potentially a couple of other Raw stars on SmackDown. And I'm beginning to wonder if they've just said, we don't care anymore. Do what you want to do. We're going to do whatever. Because maybe certain people aren't going to be around very much longer. Again, that's speculation, but how do you say, oh, well, we're going to do this Clash of Champions, the one night a year where WWE and goes head-to-head with SmackDown and Raw? Well, that's not true. You've been doing this on a regular basis. You've unified both belts. And now you're saying, well, stars can cross over for virtually no reason. First it was, well, one guy, one person can come over is the new rule. Well, tonight you're going to have two and possibly three from what I'm hearing. So that rule's gone. Something does not seem right, Todd. The WWE is kind of setting rules and then breaking their own, making statements and then going back on them, and that's usually a sign that they're not sure what's going on with the business.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember with WCW, the wrestlers didn't know what's going on with that company and what's the deal with that. You know, like you said, there were rumors what WCW was up for sale at the time and found out it was actually sold the following week, and it did a final episode of Nitro, their Night of Champions format.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't know what the situation is. WWE obviously they have some contract fulfillment to do with Saudi Arabia and some other things, but something's not right. And it seems to me that there are certain people, maybe just the very top people, who know something's not right. And we'll see if this trickles down to the wrestlers or the fans ever get any wind of it. But for right now, I'm cautiously watching what's going on in the WWE because something doesn't seem correct. Now, let's add to that that the WWE has switched the venue for their Money in the Bank pay-per-view from Allegiant Stadium, which I believe holds like 65,000 people, to MGM, which holds a third of that, if. And I was told that it, since May 1st, I think, when things had, tickets had opened up, that they had sold about 6,000 tickets. 6,000. It's a 65,000 seat arena. So let's face it, ticket sales were terrible. Absolutely terrible. And they knew there was no way they were ever going to fill Allegiant Stadium. So they switched it. Now, when you have poor ticket sales for something like Money in the Bank, you can only blame yourself. The Money in the Bank advertisement has been so confusing. You had Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, all front and center on the you had Sasha Banks too, but that's understandable. You didn't know she was going to walk out. But you have Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar on the front of Money in the Bank, and then you say, they're not going to be in it. And you reshoot the poster, I guess, and then remake the poster, and now it has neither one. And I think people are just saying, well, I don't know what the WWE is going to give me, you know? And you have to add to this, too. You know, CM Punk made fun of him and said, oh, I'm sure it's another bomb scare like it was in WrestleMania. Yeah, very funny. Class act guy. You have to understand another thing, too. There are still an awful lot of people out there who don't want to gather in huge numbers of 60,000 plus. They just don't. You see it in Major League Baseball. You see it in football. You see it in basketball. You see it in a lot of other, even entertainment venues, concerts. Ticket sales are down for everything. Now, I know people are going to say, well, AEW is going to probably sell out. Well, maybe they will, because you know what? It's a fresh thing still. There's a lot of people who say, how many chances did you get to see AEW live? They've been around 3 years, but they haven't really toured that much, thanks to COVID and some other things. So when they come around, it's like, oh, well, it's special. If you don't get to this one, Lord knows when the next one's going to be. But in general, with the horrible economy we have, and with people with less money in their pocket than ever, ticket sales are down for things like this. And part of it is, in fact, the economy. So here we go. WWE is losing revenue. The ratings are okay, but, I mean, they're not staggering. And we're looking at a company who's lost a couple of their executives, did some major shakeup. And I just feel like something is not sitting well with me. I have no information, no definite information. But it would seem to me that a company like the WWE, if they were truly looking to sell out a 65,000-seat arena, would already have had so much hype and so many main event type things that you would say, oh, my God, I can't miss Hell in a Cell. It's impossible. I mean, Money in the Bank. I can't miss Money in the Bank. It's impossible. It's going to be so dramatic and fantastic. We're not seeing that. I know they got a pay-per-view next week, and they got to promote that. I get that. But you have to have something that the fans can say, oh, I really have to get to this event, even if it's a little bit before this. You put the tickets on sale, you got to tease something. Now, you did. You teased Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And then you pulled it. So I don't know, Mike. It seems to me like the WWE lately has not been cranking on all cylinders, and there has to be a reason behind it.
Right. And think about it. I mean, look, I think it goes back to when they started to make the decision to change NXT. And they fired all of Triple H's guys, and they took everything away from Triple H. Yeah, Triple H was having health problems, but that shouldn't have stopped. That shouldn't have stopped, you know, them from having him be able to book NXT, right? But they took the book away from him, and he fired all his guys, and you know, all these guys that were long term guys, you know, other than Shawn Michaels, who's still there, they fired everybody. And then he lessens Triple H's role, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's back to work in the company, but it's nothing like he used to be, I don't think. His role has been greatly diminished. Greatly diminished. So we shall see. We shall see what happens there. Again, it's not running like a company that's running on all cylinders. So I think something's not right somewhere. And perhaps we'll get to the bottom of it. Speaking of getting to the bottom of it, somebody wrote me and asked me, what the hell happened to Zelina Vega? Haven't seen her in ages. And I meant to bring this up, so I'm glad they raised the question. She's hurt. She was injured. So I'm not sure when her timeline to come back is, but I think it's still probably a month away. But yeah, she was injured, and no one really said anything about it. They didn't even make an angle out of it that I know of, but she was in fact injured. So they didn't fire her, or she's not in trouble or anything. She's just injured. And, again, I don't know what her timeline is, but I think it's, a few weeks away, if not maybe a month or so away. So we'll see what happens there. As far as the Sasha Banks situation is concerned and Naomi, what I'm being told is they're not being paid. Their suspension is without pay. And at some point, they're going to have to come back and finish off these contracts. Or the WWE is going to have to release them from it. Now, if they're suspended without pay, at some point, they're going to have to do something. You know, Sasha Banks is talking about doing some things with her uncle there, Snoop Dogg, or whatever. WWE's going to shoot that down. She's still under contract. They better understand that. That contract clearly says you can't do anything outside of whatever as long as you're contracted with us, and they are contracted with them. So if they want to really stifle her, they can do it. Now, you can say that's bullying. You can say that's heavy-handed. You can say that's whatever you want. That's all I hear from fans and even from some wrestlers. Oh, we're standing with Sasha and Naomi. Okay, well, you're standing against the law then. I'm just going to tell you that because the law says a contract is valid until one side or the other voids that contract. Right now, the WWE could say Sasha and Naomi voided that contract. They can't say the same thing about the WWE. The WWE voided no contract. The contract was to pay them to work. They walked out of work. Now, they weren't claiming we walked out of work because it's an unsafe work environment. They weren't claiming we walked out of work because we were sexually harassed or we were something, you know, that you could argue in court would justify a walkout. They walked out because they weren't happy with what they were told to do in their job. Were they told to do anything illegal in their job? No. Were they told to do anything that would be considered harassing or in some way demeaning to them in their job? No. They were simply told to go do a match they didn't want to do. That will not hold up in court. I don't care if you're one of those people saying, I think they're wonderful. Well, you can think they're wonderful all you want. The law is the law, and the law don't care what you think. The law cares what the law is, and they violated their contracts, period. End of conversation. Now, they can say, well, there's a story to be told. I've heard that. Well, wait till they tell their story. There's no story to be told. They would literally have to come out and say, someone had threatened our lives, and the WWE refused to add security And we didn't want to go out there because we felt that there was a possibility that our lives were in danger. That could be potentially some reason you didn't perform. But you don't leave. You just stay in the back. Or we were sexually harassed and we feel whatever. Okay, well, then you might leave. Those are things that might hold up in court. Taking your ball and going home because you're not satisfied with your position, it's not going to hold up in court. They don't have a leg to stand on. I don't care if they're your favorite wrestler. I don't care if you side with them. You can side with whoever you want. The law's the law, and they violated their contract. That's it. And they're not being paid for it. So when that suspension is lifted, and it will be lifted at some point, the WWE will say, fine, you are now going to be paid, provided you show up and you work. If you do not show up and work, you are in violation of your contract, and you are still not going to be paid until you complete this contract or until we come to some kind of terms of your release, which would be we're not paying you, the downside part of your guarantee, and you just go your own way. Maybe they'll do that. I don't know. Depends on what Sasha Banks wants. I've heard two separate things. I've heard Sasha Banks is looking to possibly go to AEW. Well, who isn't? See, AEW has become a joke, and I'll tell you why. AEW has just become a bargaining chip for wrestlers who are disgruntled. I'll go to AEW, and they'll use me better. Yeah, talk to Keith Lee about that. Talk to Jeff Hardy about that. Or you might want to talk to Colt Cabana about that, right? He wasn't a WWE superstar, but, oh, they signed him, and it's going to be wonderful. Then CM Punk comes along, you haven't seen him since. Coincidence? Remember those two had a lawsuit against each other, right? Punk shows up, where have you seen Colt Cabana? And now they're saying, well, he's going to be Ring of Honor. Yeah, because CM Punk probably said, oh, I don't want him here. So don't tell me there's not politics going back and forth at AEW. There's a ton of politics going back and forth, and there's a lot of unhappy people. They're just not saying it, and the reason they're not saying it is because they don't have another place to go. Some people burn their bridges. So unless they want to go to Impact and make a tenth of the salary they're making, there isn't really any place for them. So they're just shutting up and saying, okay, well, I jumped ship, and I came over here, and it's not so great, but at least I'm getting paid, and what am I going to do? Leave here and then go where? So let's get that out of the way right away. If Sasha Banks goes to AEW, yes, they'll treat her good for 6 months. And then she's going to pull her crapola. I want to be the feature match. I want to be the woman's champion. I don't want to lose to this person. I don't want to fight this person. I want time off. I need mental health days. I need to go shoot a rap video. I need to go do whatever. And Tony Khan's either going to say, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And she's just going to extort him for money because she's not even working for his company. Or he's going to tell her, are you a professional wrestler? If you are, you're going to do what we need you to do, which is not Tony Khan's strong point, apparently. So maybe Sasha Banks will get away with it over there. But wait and see if that's not poison in the locker room, because when one person does it, then everybody else says, how come I can't? If Sasha Banks can call her own shots, how come I can't? And then what do you get? So truthfully, Mike, I don't know if Sasha Banks will go to AEW or if Tony Khan would want her. I have heard she may retire and try to go into acting. Either way, she's got to finish this contract or come to some terms with WWE.
Right. And the WWE isn't even thinking about doing what they did with Ted DiBiase. You know, they basically paid DiBiase to go away. Right? We'll pay you not to wrestle for us. It's what they did with Ted DiBiase. So they're not even doing that with her. Now, could they maybe do that with Naomi? Probably, maybe. But, again, it all depends upon how big a stand Uso takes for his wife, right? You know?
Yeah,
so,
Naomi has a big chance.
Yeah. And so, and I agree with you. There is a definite hierarchy in the AEW locker room. You got Britt Baker, you got Hikaru Shida, you got what's her name, the big girl, the native beast Nyla Rose, you got a few other people, including the TNT champion there as well. And so there is a definite hierarchy, and how would she, with her crapola, affect that hierarchy?
I honestly do not know. And I will tell you, and there's nothing wrong with this, so I'm not insulting Sasha Banks when I say this. Sasha Banks is a little bit like The Miz. They're very light workers. They're not somebody who likes, what you would call working stiff or major. I know she's done a couple cage matches where she did do a couple of things, but for the most part, Sasha Banks likes to work relatively light. And AEW's not doing it. So I don't know. I don't know if she'd be a good fit over there. She's injury prone. You have to remember that too. And she also has a history of walking out on companies even when she's advertised for matches. And that doesn't usually fly. Now, Derek in the chat room saying if it was either one, if they had threats on their lives made or they were sexually harassed, they would have came out with her already. Yes, they would have. Yes, they would have. And the WWE would never have had Corey Graves say what he said. Now, some people are saying Corey Graves actually toned it down from what Vince McMahon was telling him to say in his earpiece, but he still got crap for it. But at the end of the day, I love this. Here's the typical wrestling fan. I went to a show and they advertised Cesaro and he wasn't there. WWE sucks. How dare they bait and switch? That's why I hate WWE. Then you go to see Sasha and Naomi. Oh, they walked out. Well, I don't blame them. I'm glad they walked out. What? What are you talking about? Sasha and Naomi gave not one single damn about any fan who paid to see them that night. Not one. So I, in turn, do not give one single damn what happens to them. They made their bed, lie in it. You're big girls now. Now, I do smell in the WWE that if they try to limp Roman Reigns into WrestleMania with The Rock, they're going to have a hard road. And the reason I say that is this. You got really good heat last week with Roman Reigns, putting Randy Orton out supposedly, hurting Riddle supposedly. Fans were mad. Kids were crying. But then we unfortunately live in this weird age where everyone has a cell phone that can take video. And the video always ends up on the internet. And we now have a video of Roman Reigns, which is a hilarious video. You have to see it. There's a guy holding a kid. The kid cannot be more than two. Cannot be more than 2 years old. And Roman Reigns is outside the ring. This guy is in the front row with this kid, and this kid puts on the meanest mug you have ever seen a kid put on in his life. He lowers his eyebrows, sticks his lip out, and he curls his face up into this disgust for Roman Reigns, who's walking by, clearly sees it, stops and looks at the kid, tries really hard not to laugh because the kid is so upset with him, and then rolls back in the ring and literally starts mean mugging the kid back, and him and the kid are having a moment where they're just making faces at each other. And the crowd's getting into it. The crowd sees what's happening, and they're laughing about it. You can't keep a guy a heel that way. That's a problem. Now, I'm sure he thought this is a house show, but, yeah, again, we're living in a different age. And when these things happen, then organically you kind of kill your heat. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't have done it. It was a fun moment. And these are the type of moments that bring fans to house shows, by the way. These are the type of moments that actually do sell seats. But in the grand scheme of things, it may not be the best for Roman Reigns' character. He's already getting 50-50. He's already getting 50% cheers, 50% boos, and they're trying really hard to turn that around. They're trying really hard to turn that around. And when something like this happens, Todd, it sets that effort back a little bit.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about that kid with Roman Reigns doing that, like that mean, disgusting, mad face at him. I remember back several years ago, that some girl gave a mean look to the Miz in the crowd.
Yeah, this kid was worse than that. Okay, this kid was really funny. And again, the little girl, the Miz girl, was maybe, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old. This kid, this is a baby. This is like 2 years old. It is a very funny moment. And if you watch it on video, I don't know if you got to see it, Mike, you will see Roman Reigns stop dead in his tracks and look at the kid and try really, really hard not to laugh. And then he could not help himself. He rolls back in the ring and sort of lays down underneath the bottom rope and is mean mugging the kid back. And the father's laughing hysterically and the people around him are laughing. And I'm saying, this is a great moment if you're there. This is a moment where fans interact with wrestlers and you see the wrestlers are kind of human and everything's great. And it's one of those moments where it transcends the actual wrestling. But at the same time, Mike, if the WWE is trying hard to get those fans to boo you, this is not what you want circulating on the internet.
Right. And that's the thing. Think about this. If this had happened during the, if this particular moment had happened during the Attitude Era, where nobody, hardly anybody had their had a camera on their cell phone or on their phone or whatever, and it was a house show and this, that, and the other, it would be into the hit. It would be, you know, it would be into the dustbin of history, and nobody would have known it was around, right? I mean, think about it. In the Attitude Era, when people, when you were trying very hard to get people to boo you, you know, and most cases it worked and stuff like that. And, of course, you had things that were going on with McMahon and all that stuff. But if it had happened during that era, yeah, it would be relegated. At a house show, it would be relegated to the dustbin of history. And think about it. Even when ECW was having their house shows, well, it wasn't being taped so much as it was, you know, there was a guy in the audience with a camera, right? Right, you know.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't professionally done, but it was done. And so, yeah, so even then, you didn't see some of that type of stuff with ECW, you know.
Some people are saying the camera, the WWE actually recorded some of that. It's possible they did just for later on use or something. Sometimes they'll have a camera there and just, you know, because maybe they want to capture a moment, an audience moment or something, and they want to put it somewhere. But the video I saw was from a cell phone. And Derek is saying, well, they forbid you to tape it. Yeah, but you can't stop it. Because they tell you can take pictures. So if you can take pictures and you've got your cell phone up, how the hell do they know whether you're shooting a video or taking pictures? See, that's the funny thing about it. They'll say no video was allowed, but you can take all the pictures you want. Well, how do they know? There's 18,000 people in the building. You think they're checking everybody's cell phone when it's up? It's not possible. So you can't really stop it. You can say don't do it and hope people don't. That's the equivalent of telling people that go to, like, used to go to the some of these hippie band concerts, don't smoke pot. Yeah, I know. And that's really going to work. So that's the problem. You're always going to get this kind of video. So, you know, do we go back to the days where people don't break kayfabe? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Because like I said, in one sense, it's good for the business. Because in one sense, that family can now go home and say, wow, we had a really good moment there with my kid and Roman Reigns, and it was so much fun for the kids. And other people say, I want to bring my kids. They'd love to see. That's great. But on the other hand, there is that old school mentality of you're trying to get this guy booed. And hey, it's not going to work if he's having a moment with, you know, these kids and having fun. So I don't know. I don't know what side of the fence I'm on at this. It's tough to call. Very tough to call. Anyway, let's talk a little about L.A. Knight, who's now what? Max Dupree? Apparently his stable was supposed to be Mansoor and Mace. But they're second-guessing this now because they're doing this male model thing, and I don't see Mansoor as a male model, and I don't see Mace as a male model necessarily. I don't think they're going to switch their gimmicks that much. So now they're saying, oh, maybe not. We're not sure what we're going to do with Mace and Mansoor. We're going to repackage them, but we're not sure. This is something that I think the WWE has to be very careful with, and I'll tell you why. Eli Drake is very good at what he does. And much like Aaron Stevens, the former Damian Sandow, he can turn crap into something entertaining. But even he has his limits. And if you're not going to use him the way he needs to be used, then he's going to fail. Now, the very first Max Dupree thing I saw, he's doing the funny thing with how do you say his name, Dupree. I get that. But when Eli Drake is at his best, it's when he's that egotistical, sarcastic, one-liner type guy. And he didn't come across that way with Adam Pearce. And if you're not going to let him do that, I don't know. I don't know if he's just going to be good as a manager of some male models. I don't know if that's going to fly. He's good at calling everybody dummies, and he's good at the shtick and being sarcastic and sharp-tongued and all that. I don't know if he's good at being smooth and suave and debonair and all that kind of stuff, Mike. So I hope they don't misuse him because they have somebody here who could really help if they use him correctly.
Yes, they do. And that's the thing. And we've always said that, you know, the person that needs to be with him if they're going to do this male model thing is you know who, you know. And he's still available and they could bring him back now. Would he want to come back? Maybe, probably so. But, you know, they could use him in that. He should be his first guy. Should the former Fashion Police guy. You know, they're not gonna get Fandango because he's tied up in an NWA right now. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But they could get what's her name in hell? Think about this. What's Carmella's big shtick right now? The most beautiful person in the WWE, right? Well,
yeah, but unfortunately said male models, so I don't think that's going to fly. I'll tell you who they could have used, but it's too late now. He started his own federation, was EC3 way back when he was sort of doing that male model thing, right? EC3 would have been perfect for that group. But you're going to run a risk with this because I'm telling you, Eli Drake is better when he's doing like a sort of a Roddy Piper thing where he's very crass and rude and obnoxious and whatever. And if he's going to try to do this suave business manager type guy, I don't know if that's going to be good for him. I don't think he's going to be as entertaining, put it that way. He could probably do it. But is it going to be entertaining? I don't know. He wasn't as entertaining in NXT as he was as Eli Drake because he couldn't do his dummy thing. He couldn't do a lot of the stuff that was fun. He did that in the NWA Power, too, and it was fun. But then he went over to NXT, and I was like, hey, he's not doing it as much. He's trying to come up with something similar, and it's not as whatever. And then he became a face, and that didn't work so good. I don't know. I know he's got a lot of talent. So I hope that they'll use him correctly. Aside from that, we should say that Aaron Stevens has teased he's retiring from professional wrestling. I guess he's got a match with Dick Murdoch, and he's saying this is it for him. And I don't know whether he's being serious or he's trying to troll people or whatever, but that's what I'm hearing from him. And if that's the case, Mike, that's a big loss, because this is a guy more than anyone else I have ever seen in professional wrestling. I have him on my Facebook, and I read a lot of his posts, listen to a lot of his interviews. He has a blog show as well that it's not all wrestling. He understands exactly what wrestling is. If every single wrestler had the mentality of Aaron Stevens, we would have a much better business. Because unlike anyone I think I've ever heard interviewed, he gets it 1,000%. 1,000%. He gets every aspect of what it's supposed to be. And he kind of indicates at times that he gets shit on for it because people say it's not right, but it is right, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, some of the best work he did was when he was Damian Sandow and he was imitating The Miz, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, that was some of the best work he did. And look, here's the deal. We've lost what's his name that used to be with that was the singer that was doing the Rusev Day thing. He's no longer in wrestling at all, I don't think. And now we have a chance of losing him. These are two very talented guys that got it, and we're going to lose the second one of them probably, you know?
That's a shame, too. And I recently said, I think that there's been a lot of great skits in the WWE. You can look back and say Vince McMahon in the hospital being visited by Mankind, hilarious. Vince McMahon in the wheelchair being asked to play Twister, hilarious, great skit. There have been a lot of great skits. But one that will always stand out in my mind is Damian Sandow at Comic-Con. That was gold. I remember watching that, and Sandow was relatively new in the WWE at the time. He hadn't reached any major heights yet. He was being pushed. And I said, the minute I saw this, that guy's a star. That guy is a superstar. Anybody who can take the microphone and do what he did with that skit is a star. He gets it 1,000%. And they never gave him that chance. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say some of the gimmicks they gave him were punishment. And he made gold out of them. You had to know certain things weren't going over. And yet he made them go over. And I think it got to a point where the WWE was frustrated with the fact they couldn't punish him. We're going to give you the stupidest, dumbest gimmick in the world. And somehow he found a way to make it entertaining. And they said, God damn it. And I don't know what he ever did wrong. I really don't. He is going to go down on my list of people that was a complete miss for the WWE, that the WWE absolutely missed the ball on, absolutely struck out on when they had something big. I will go down in history as saying the two guys, now one of them met a tragic end, unfortunately, and maybe some of this was his own doing. But the two people that the WWE missed the boat on completely was Sean O'Hare as the Devil's Advocate, which was maybe one of the greatest gimmicks in the history of professional wrestling, and I never heard anybody do anything better or smoother than Sean O'Hare did that character. And Damian Sandow, who literally you could give complete and utter garbage, and he made it entertaining. Those two people you totally missed the boat on. Anyway, aside from that, we're now hearing that CM Punk may have some heat backstage at AEW, and that some of the things that Hangman Page had said leading up to their clash was not totally in character. Now, I've told everybody, CM Punk is poison in the locker room. I don't care if he agreed to put people over. I don't care if he said, this is a wonderful place, and I'm so happy to be here with young talent. CM Punk's true side is going to come out soon. And now we're starting to hear that there are some people who are not so fond of his backstage politics. And by politics, I don't mean whether he's left or right. I mean the way he goes about things. And I warned everyone this will happen sooner or later. Because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He's not 20. He has the mentality of, I'm special and need to be treated that way. You're not, and you're cannon fodder. And I think people get sick of it after a while. I think people start to look at it and say, yeah, okay, he did his job because he knows he's going to get what he wants at the end. And he may very well. I mean, he may end up AEW champion. And if he does, there are people who say, oh, that'll be great for AEW. I don't think so. I think that sends a clear message. And the clear message is, we had to go to the well and get a 46-year-old guy who hadn't wrestled in years to be our champion because nobody here can draw. Nobody here is doing the numbers that we need to have happen. And that's almost like an old Vince McMahon thing. Well, let's go get The Undertaker out of retirement. Let's go get somebody, John Cena, to come back. Let's go get The Rock to come back. It's the same thing. And this is a blueprint of how not to run your wrestling federation. CM Punk coming back and making a splash is fine. Getting into a major feud with some of the younger talent is fine. Holding the belt is not fine. Because that should be reserved for your talent, the talent that you say, going into the future, these are going to be our main guys. Not the quick, how can we get more ratings? But that's not a long-term fix for anything, Todd. I think it would be a mistake if they do that, and I'm almost guaranteeing that that's what they have in mind.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with CM Punk, too. And he, when he was in the WWE, he had a lot of heat backstage as well. There too, and probably Impact Wrestling when he was there, and Ring of Honor back in the day. He's not very popular with the guys in the backstage area at all.
At least some of them. That's what it would appear, Mike. Again, you know, we sort of knew his track record, so this isn't super surprising.
No, it's not super surprising. And think about it, you know. A lot of when they had that face to face on Wednesday night with Hangman Page, I'm listening to that to Hangman Page is what he said, and I'm saying yep, true, yes, yeah, I agree, you know, and when you allow a guy to hit that, and I don't know if they allowed it, but if he's hitting that many points on the right on the nose, right, in his promo. I mean, he hit a bunch of points about CM Punk right on the nose, did Hangman Page. Obviously,
yep.
There's some heat between Hangman Page and CM Punk, and usually you want that, but not this kind of heat.
See, there's two schools of thought, of course. One is that Hangman Page is totally just staying in character, and he's saying what the fans think and hoping that we all think it's real, which is possible. But then the second school of thought is he decided he's going to take this a little closer to the bone, which is also possible. But either way, it clearly shows that whether he's doing this in character and doesn't believe a word he said, he knows what fans' perception is. Because if he didn't, he couldn't say that, right? Fans would say, what's he talking about? That's dumb. That doesn't make any sense, what he's saying. I don't get what he's saying. When we all say, yep, we agree with that, or yeah, we know what he's saying, that means he knows already that that's the perception. And that's not a good perception to have. So whether he means it or he doesn't mean it, it's obvious that they've heard this. And that doesn't bode well. So we'll see where they go with this. Should be interesting. It really should be, because I think it's going to say a lot about what AEW has in their future. And speaking of which, apparently Tony Khan has said, oh, I'm meeting with Discovery, and we're going to work out something big. And he says it's very good when, like, real-life angles meet wrestling angles, and a little bit of real life leads into wrestling, and that's what happened with MJF, when the contracts. And people know that there's a contract issue with him, but that's okay because we're also doing the thing with Wardlow and how much he hates him, and the real life is bleeding into wrestling angles, and that's good. And MJF responded and then took down the tweet with F this place. So I don't know. Now, MJF is good at working people. And I've heard him and Tony Khan are friends, and they've had some disagreements, but they are friends. But you can work the crowd all you want. Unless Tony Khan comes up with a boatload of money, I think MJF is WWE bound. I really honestly do. Because I think he has figured out for himself, I'm never going to be the top wrestler here, and the main goal of AEW is to hold 20-minute wrestling matches. I could be a top personality, but that's more what the WWE does. So I think he's figured out for himself that if he wants to be a personality and a star based on his personality and his mic work and his character gimmick and stuff like that, the WWE is that place. And him and Tony Khan could be running one big scam here. I don't know. And he could be very, very happy, but I don't think so. I truly think that if Vince McMahon makes him a good offer. Now, we don't know. The WWE is foolish. The WWE could say, yeah, we want you to come over here and just be a manager, and we don't want you to ever, ever wrestle again, and we're going to change your name to, you know, Joe Mama. And he's going to say, well, no, I'm not doing it. I mean, that could happen, right? Knowing the WWE, they could do something stupid like that. But if they offer MJF a good salary and a good position, I think he's gone, Mike. I really honestly do.
I think so. I think so, too. And that's the thing. You know, you look at – and look, to tell you the truth, I think not only him, but Wardlow would fit better in the WWE as well. But that's just me, you know. Yeah, MJF, and we've all said, now granted, with all the uncertainty about what's going on with the WWE right now, you know, that maybe, yeah, they may offer him a ton of money, but maybe he might say, with all your uncertainty, you're getting rid of people that you probably shouldn't get rid of, or having people take a step back that you haven't, you know, you probably shouldn't have a step back with, you know. I'll think about it, but probably not right now. Maybe, you know, and maybe that could factor into the deal whether he goes there or not, because he's just not certain about what's going to happen with the WWE, and maybe he knows that there is a contract. There is more money possibly coming from Discovery. Maybe he knows that.
Well, not only that, but there is one thing that could keep him there, and that is Tony Khan has been very, very open with allowing him to say things on the mic that I'm promising you the WWE is not going to allow him to say. I promise you. So he's going to have to really reel it in and be PG. Period. There's not going to be any exceptions made. They're going to tell him, you have to do this character PG. And I don't know if that's going to be such a cramp on his style that he thinks, I'm going to fail. I have to be a little more edgy than PG. Or if he thinks, no, I can do this. I don't know. What's your thoughts, Todd? Where do you think he would be most effective, staying in AEW or going to WWE and giving it a shot?
Well, to be honest with you, it's a hard choice to make there, you know. If the money is right, more WWE bound. Like you said, we mentioned a while back, him and The Miz were bickering back and forth at one another as well.
Yeah, that would be
a hell of a mic war. Also, some more injuries to report. Nikita Lyons is injured, and Sting is injured. That's why Sting was taken off some cards. Neither one is super serious, I don't think. But, you know, it could be a few months. So those are two more injuries to report. Let's talk a little bit about what we're going to see on SmackDown tonight. We're not 100% sure. But from what I'm hearing, Cody Rhodes is a definite, and Seth Rollins is a very strong possibility. And I'm hearing maybe more Raw stars, Mike. So while Vince McMahon is saying the brand split is still on, you can't really say that with a straight face if you're just going to allow two or three guys to jump ship at will anytime they want.
And that's the thing. And we've speculated that, you know, Fox is going to say, well, you know, this, and this, you know, and you got, we were promised this and you're doing something else, you know? And so, you know, and Fox is Disney right now. So, I mean, what could happen? And we know they're not leaving USA, right? We know that.
Yeah.
They're happy with USA, and basically WWE Network has been basically swallowed up by the Peacock, you know.
Yep.
So they're happy with that, and they're happy with they're still happy with Fox. So unless Fox decides that we're going to put you on FS1, you know, because your ratings are too low. But right now, it just seems like Fox is sort of kind of happy with the 1.7 to 2.3 million that they get, you know, on any given.
Yeah, they can
complain, you know, but USA don't have a show that's going to come close to Raw. So, I mean, they can complain and say Fox is getting all the major stars. Well, maybe, but you don't have a show that's coming close to that. So how much could they complain? But it is going to be confusing for fans because, I mean, it's hard to keep the brands separate as it is now, and now you're muddying the waters even more. One last piece of information, and this should be filed under, we should have saw it coming. Steveson has indicated he'd rather go back to amateur wrestling. Apparently he's done a lot of working out with WWE, preparing for his big debuts, and he has now said, I'm considering just going back to amateur wrestling. I had a feeling, Mike, that this could happen. He's very, very good, and he has the look, but I don't know if he has the personality.
Right. He's not close to Chad Gable. You know, they were talking about having Chad Gable change his name and all that stuff again, but Gable Steveson is not, in terms of personality, even close to. I mean, we make fun of the shoosh and all that stuff, but that's personality. That's a big personality, you know?
Yeah, and that's important. And the times I saw Gable Steveson, he looked a little straight-laced and quiet, and I'm not sure he'd have went over. So I don't know if they're going to talk him out of it. I don't know if he's going to still, you know, compete. But I got a feeling that he might pull a Gronk and just say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. If he does, well, WWE invested a lot of hype saying he's coming for no reason. Anyway, we'll be back here on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.